The biggest news in Clarksville. It's kind of overwhelming. If you can go on Clarksville now and you're like, there's just too many stories.
Too many stories.
I don't know. What's the biggest news?
We need to cut back.
I know.
We need to start saying, hey, listen, only one story a day.
That's all you get. No, we do the hard work for you. We break down the biggest stories in Clarksville for the entire week on this podcast. This is the Clarksville Rundown. My name is Ryan Pluckelman. That guy over there is the editor-in-chief of ClarksvilleNow.com, Mr. Chris Smith.
Happy Easter, Ryan.
Happy Easter to you as well. Hippity-hoppity happiness coming your way.
Yeah, and don't tell my my son or his wife, but I took up you on your suggestion that I get Easter baskets.
Yes!
Yeah, I got some Easter baskets.
That's good. That's good.
They're going to be here on Easter morning, and I think that's going to be the rule. If you show up for Easter morning, you get a basket. You don't show up at dad's house. There ain't no basket coming from daddy.
We have one kid that's coming for Easter Sunday. Well, that's because she still lives there because she's a senior in high school. The other two are like, I'm busy. I got to like sway them. Like, I got baskets of candy.
Yeah,
that's what we've gotten to.
Chocolates and whatnot.
Exactly. Yeah. But these are the biggest stories. You even need to get a basket. We've already gathered all these for you. There's no searching.
Here's the stories in your basket.
Exactly.
Kiddos.
An Easter basket full of news on the Clarksville Rundown this week. What do we got?
So we got a standing room only at the last school board meeting,
which is great to see. So many times school board meetings are probably friends and family night where it's pretty boring and no one's there. But the fact that Clarksville came out in mass to the school board meeting to get their voices heard, very positive. You love
good
to see that.
That's democracy in action. That's people, they got something they want to hear, want to make sure the school board's listening to them about. Show up at the meetings, you know, when that applies to council or commission or whatever. But what most people were there for was a discussion of the way special needs children are handled by CMCSS. There's been a lot of complaints lately.
Right.
There was the Ja'Kira Crockett situation where her son, who's special needs, had his hair pulled by a teacher in a dispute because the child who was autistic was having a screaming fit.
Yeah.
And so she screamed at the kid and pulled his hair.
Right.
It was a whole thing. So that has somewhat been resolved, but, you know, not to the parent's satisfaction. But the there's been other issues that have been going on, and there's a lot of parents who just wanted to basically say, hey, listen, you guys got to start paying attention to this.
Something. You do something about this.
Yeah.
The status quo is not working. We've got to do something.
Yeah.
I feel for the parents. And I also, we're in a situation now where, yes, we want special needs kids integrated into public schools. There was a time when special needs kids went to a special needs school. That's what happened. And so now we're integrating special needs kids, and we've been doing this for well over a decade, into just standard, I don't want to say regular because that's offensive. We're incorporating special needs kids into just the standard
mainstream
into the classroom, which is a fantastic thing because it gives them opportunities they don't have in just a special needs school. But I think the one thing that we're not thinking about is the demands. It takes a special set of skills to be a quality teacher, but also be the type of person who knows how to deal with someone and to present education to them in the way that's best for them. Like, you have to have a certain set of skills to not only teach, but to, you know, create an environment where kids with varying special needs, it's not a one special need. There's varying special needs. So I think it's worth looking at if we're going to be looking for someone or a bunch of teachers with a extra special set of skills, I think we kind of have to look for maybe more pay.
Well,
if we're asking, because it's a problem we have with a lot of things. The reason why we can't find bus drivers, if I'm just being honest with you, is it pays nothing.
We're asking a lot of
someone. You have to have all of these things, and we're going to give you nothing. And if you want to attract the best, you have to pay more. And so you have to wonder, and I'm sure there are fantastic, and I don't want all special needs teachers in CMCSS thinking that I'm saying you're not qualified. There are incredibly qualified people that are doing a great job. There's bad apples that ruin every bunch. But if we're going to integrate special needs students into public schools, we have to make sure we have the right people to provide the right environment for them to learn and flourish in that.
And we don't have enough of them.
Right.
And this is a capitalist society. If you don't have enough people to do the job, well, then you pay them more. It's
right.
called supply and demand.
And that allows you to get a higher, to demand a higher quality candidate.
We ought to be paying them more. If we want them, we got to pay them more to do it. And the, you know, and the problem, I think one of the reasons for this tension, for these conflicts that are happening, is that public schools are designed for mass education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're designed to, I mean, I'm going to put this in a way that some people may be bothered by, but we're basically warehousing children. And that is one of the reasons that my wife and I homeschooled our kids, the two youngest until middle school, because we didn't want our kids to be raised in a warehouse. I mean, the rules in a school are you must be in this line. Mm-hmm. You must raise your hand to do this. No, you may not go to the bathroom without permission. No, you may not take a break to go outside and do jumping jacks because you feel stressed out. We homeschooled our kids because we wanted them to have that freedom. We didn't want them raised by the army. You know, we wanted them to be in a free, open environment. So we homeschooled them. And in public schools, if that's what you are left with, if you have to have your kids in public schools, you are in a warehouse environment. All the kids have to behave the same way, follow the same rules, because we're dealing with 800 children. You can't just have everybody doing their own thing.
That's chaos.
But if you're special needs kids, they can't abide by that warehouse mentality, and they have to have special accommodations. They have to have teachers who are specially trained. And so you get this weird conflict where you got, you know, teacher Mrs. Smith, who's used to telling everybody, obey the rules, obey the rules, obey the rules. And then you have a special needs kid. If the special needs teacher isn't available, Mrs. Smith's going to go over and have a screaming argument with a child who won't do what she says.
Because they're not educated in handling that, right?
Like, right.
If you don't have a special needs kid, and you have not been trained into how to deal with a special needs kid. And I say deal in what I mean by that is giving them the environment they need to flourish, right?
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah. But we don't have the resources to train every single teacher in the school system on how to be a special education teacher. I mean, we can barely afford to hire enough teachers as it is, much less giving them all specialized degrees.
Right.
You know, so it's just a rough situation. And I guess, you know, I hate to say that you're right about throwing more money at the problem is the solution, but that may be it. We just need to have more special ed teachers.
I don't want anybody going, this hippy dippy weirdos here. Chris is hippier dippier than I am.
Well, it depends on the issue, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I think it kind of goes back and forth. That's the spouse of a public school teacher. Mm-hmm. You know, we have both sides of the coins here, looking at public schools, but I feel for you. And then when you have that happen to your child, right? You hand off your child to the school and you hope for the best. And my God, have I been blessed with fantastic teachers for my kids. Mm-hmm. But I know that not everybody has that experience.
Yeah.
And so to hand your kid off to the school and then to find out that, I mean, your kid was screamed at and the hair pulled, already knowing that kid has special needs. It breaks your heart, and I can completely understand why the parents and the family of this kid are just like, do something.
You got
to do something more, because if I were to do that to an employee here at work, I'd be fired.
Oh, that's true enough, yeah.
So this kind of shell game of like, well, let's just move them over here. Again, we don't know all the details. Mm. You know, who knows all the details, the people that were involved.
Yeah,
but I can certainly understand why someone would feel like they weren't being taken care of and the need was not being addressed and their child was failed in this situation.
Yeah. Well, one possible solution that was brought up at the school board meeting, and that's school vouchers. So
that ain't gonna help, folks.
So the one of the school board members basically said, "What we need as a school board, we need to vote to oppose the school voucher bill that Governor Bill Lee has put forward." Now, he's calling it the Education Freedom Scholarships. That's BS. It's not the Education Freedom Scholarship Act. It's vouchers.
Right, it's vouchers.
It's a fancy word for vouchers because they don't want to use the word vouchers because they know it doesn't poll well.
Yeah.
But effectively, it's a voucher. That's exactly what it is.
Does that weirdo school in Michigan, do they have like nudie pictures of Bill Lee or something? Because he really seems in bed with these folks and he... He doesn't seem to understand that we don't want it. And repeatedly people are like, dude, this is not the thing. He's keep like, no, I think this is great. Let's call it freedom scholarships now.
I mean, honestly, what's really going on, you look at 90% of the legislation that's being put forward in the legislature right now, it's being put up by the Koch brothers. They're doing the same legislation in Mississippi and North Carolina and Alabama and Georgia. The Tennessee voters are no longer in charge of Tennessee. The Koch brothers are in charge of the Tennessee legislature. Look at what's happened left and right. I mean, there's all these national copycat bills being thrown around all over the country, and it's all coming from the same group of people, and they're all trying to get... What happened to Tennessee having its own state?
Right,
what happened to state rights?
We're independent.
Right? What happened to independence?
Yeah, I mean, we're Tennessee. You're getting on a soapbox. You're getting worked up there. Chris saw that story about the...
Sweat's pouring out of my eyeballs right now. Yeah.
Chris saw the story about the Tennessee legislature putting forth a bill to ban chemtrails. And he's like, oh, for God's sake, they're morons.
Yeah.
He was getting upset about it. But yeah,
it's copycat legislation.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And we don't want it. We've said it again and again and again. We just don't want it. I'll tell you what really makes me miss Bill Haslam. Mm-hmm. God, I love Governor Haslam. Yeah. Talk about a guy who knew how to do his job.
And I'll plug another podcast here. There's a podcast out there. It's called You May Be Right.
Okay.
And it's Haslam and Bredesen, a Democrat and Republican, former governors of Tennessee.
Yeah.
They have a podcast.
Together?
And it's called You Might Be Right. And they discuss current political issues and why our system is broken, and how maybe we can find a way to work together across party lines to solve our biggest problems in society.
And they're not screaming at each other and calling each other names?
Imagine that.
I can see why no one listens to it, because they're not screaming at each other and calling each other names. No, it does make you miss Bill Haslam, because he was a very good governor.
Yeah.
Trying to ram vouchers down the voters' throats by changing the name.
Right, right. So there was the voucher thing. So that was big. And that one got
people
approved.
Against that.
The school board voted to oppose the school voucher bill. And there were, I think it was Ken Griffey and Aaron Mayberry voted against it.
Okay.
I.e. in support of school vouchers.
Okay. Who did?
Griffey and Mayberry.
Okay. All right.
And they have good, they have intellectually responsible reasons for doing so. I mean, I can see a good intellectual argument for vouchers.
Yeah.
I just don't like the idea that we're, using copycat legislation and we're also taking money away from our public schools to support private schools.
Because everywhere
it's privatization of education is what it is.
Everywhere it's been passed. Oh God, it's a mess.
It's a hot mess.
It's a hot mess. Yeah. Look up Ohio and see how that's going for them.
Yeah.
It's a disaster. But they also talked about the naming thing.
Yes, they did.
And boy, the can of worms is open with the naming thing.
Oh yeah.
Naming after people.
That's right. It's all over the place now. So the latest name to come forward is Sidney Brown.
Okay.
He's a wonderful guy. Mm-hmm. He was a 101st Airborne Division soldier who had all kinds of involvement and exposure to civil rights problems in America.
Yeah.
Previously discussed Jimmy Terry Sr.
Yeah.
And one person even said they need to keep the word freedom in it. Maybe just call it Freedom Elementary and leave off the valley part.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Yeah. So people won't, Google and find the pineapple stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The Freedom Elementary.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, makes sense.
So basically, but they're wanting some more to basically vet some more names and make sure they give everybody a chance to say what they want to say and get a bunch of names. And then they'll, I guess the next meeting, they'll take a vote.
Do not put it to the internet, because I really do not want to have Schooly McSchoolface Elementary School in Clarksville.
That'd be awesome. Schooly McSchoolface. I mean, try Googling Schooly McSchoolface.
And it turns out it's a nudie park in Wisconsin.
So that was a whole lot happened at the school board this
year. Yeah. Man, busy, but awesome for showing out.
Yeah.
Keep doing it, Clarksville.
All right. Next thing we had recently, the groundbreaking, finally, this has been going on for forever, for the new branch library and the animal control shelter.
So they Mayor Golden got his golden shovel out.
Yeah, that's right.
The West Golden Shovel.
So so this has been something that's been in the making for a long time. We've needed a new animal shelter very badly. We've needed a branch library for a very long time. And everything got put off. They were discussing this way before COVID. Mm-hmm. Then something else came up and it got pulled from the budget. And so finally they're actually breaking ground.
Just so you know, when Mayor West Golden has a golden shovel, he just calls it shovel. Because it's implied that it would be golden because it's his.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know that. Have you had this conversation with him?
No, but I know what I'm going to be doing next time.
What are you
going
to talk to him about next time?
No, what? This is great.
Mayor Golden, have I got the pun for you?
Hey, you ready for a joke, sir? I have got the joke you need.
Not the one he deserves.
But the one he needs.
But the one he needed.
No, I think this is great. Library on the north side of town. Yeah. We've needed another animal shelter. Hmm. It's a win-win all the way around. Yeah. How long is the construction take on that?
See,
you didn't have that on your.
You ask me these questions, and
it should open in 2025.
Around.
Is what I'm betting. 2025.
Fall of 2025.
Yes. Look
you
at
nailed
that.
It. Now, for clarification, this will not be the same building. They're not putting the animal control shelter and the library in the
Chris's
same building.
Line. What they're going to do is they're going to alternate bookshelves with dog cages.
Uh-huh.
So you'll be able to walk by a pit bull to get your book. Mm-hmm. And then you can read the books to the dogs. It's going to be great. It's first of its kind. People are coming from all over the world to see our rotating dog cage bookshelf library / animal shelter. Yeah.
Now, in reality, this does present a lot of interesting opportunities because now if they've got a cute little pooch or a kitty cat and they want to bring it over to the library, the kids can read to the animals, or the kids can check out books and go next door to the animal shelter and read to the animals.
It's a great
that's a very therapeutic thing, actually, for a lot of children and people to.
It's very true.
To animals. Yeah.
They say that when you're learning to read, that's a great thing to do because you're not going to get judgment from Mr. Scrufflepants.
Yeah.
He's just going to sit in your lap and go, "Oh, this is great."
Yeah. No, Scrufflepants isn't going to interrupt you. Excuse me, which pronounce malaria, not malaria.
What children's books are you reading your kids that are about malaria? What does that say about your homeschooling? Where he goes right away to a children's book about malaria.
Actually, my oldest son came home from a Sunday school thing. They were doing this raising money for Africa program.
Yeah.
And one of the things was sleeping nets to keep flies off of people when they're asleep. And he was telling us all about it.
Yeah.
This long.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, it's to prevent the spread of malaria.
I like malaria.
And we looked and said, what's malaria? And then it hit us. Malaria. Cause he read about it, but nobody said the word out loud. So he just. You
know. I kind of like malaria better.
Malaria sounds much worse than malaria. Malaria, yeah. Take some Tylenol. Malaria.
Oh my God, he's got malaria.
He'd be in hospital for malaria.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I love malaria.
So anyway,
that's great.
So the one cool thing about this animal shelter is something I heard recently. Did you know our current animal shelter basically, if you work there. Mm-hmm. All day long, 8 hours a day, you have to listen to dogs barking nonstop. Their facility is so small and so badly kind of ramshackle put together with so many animals in it that you can't get away from the incessant barking of the dogs.
Wow. So, I'm sure they leave that off the ads when they're looking for employees. Like,
imagine trying to hire somebody. Okay, now listen, you're going to have to listen to dogs barking literally all day long. Yeah.
So to prep people for their new job at the animal shelter, they give them a CD from the Jingle Dogs. Remember that a couple of
years ago? No, what is the Jingle Dogs?
You didn't hear that?
No.
A couple of years ago, probably 10 years ago, the Jingle Dogs put out an album. And it was dogs barking Christmas songs.
Oh,
It was just that.
Why would somebody carry through that idea? That is a really funny idea. I can't imagine somebody actually recording that and then.
Well, from what I hear, it was just recorded from the Montgomery Animal Shelter.
Well, there
you go. Like, man, these dogs are now singing Jingle Bells.
So the new facility will solve that problem. The animal kennels will be in a separate part of the building from the offices. Yeah. And stuff. So you can go if you want to, you know, pet a puppy or consider dog for adoption. You're not hearing constant din of dogs barking.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that'll help.
So the city unleashed a massive number of updates for us this week on various projects going on all over town.
The exciting things.
Mm-hmm. And there's a couple just, you know, I won't go into all of them, but, you know, one, you know, on Public Square, the City Hall building, it's got that white archway that goes across the top.
Yeah.
And listeners can't see this, but I'm demonstrating by doing a rainbow.
He's making a rainbow movement with his hands.
My archway movement.
Yeah.
So this archway, the plaster's basically been falling off. I mean, it's been up, that building's probably dates to the late 1700s.
Yeah.
I don't know. So the plaster has begun separating from the brick. And so they went ahead and took the whole thing down before it collapses and shatters into a million pieces. But they are, I thought this was fascinating. They're taking it and cleaning it. But while they're working on it, they're also doing a digital scan of it.
Wow.
So that if it ever completely falls off or it gets hit by a rock and shatters or whatever, they can do a reproduction of it.
That's fantastic.
That's smart thinking, isn't it?
That is. That's fancy schmancy.
Yeah. So right now, you know, it's basically, you can see photos of it on ClarksvilleNow.com. There's, you know, it's basically exposed brick with a bunch of woodwork.
Yeah.
So they're getting all that cleaned up, sprucing it up, making the city look nice.
Very good. I'm always good with that.
Yeah. The athletic complex out at Exit 8, they are working on the road out there. And once they get the roads finished, they're going to start working on the multi-purpose fields and the pavilions and the all kinds of stuff out
there. Soccer fields. Mm-hmm. People are asking about pickleball courts. I can't answer that question. I guess.
Can you make anything a pickleball court?
I think you really could.
I mean, as long as you got pavement, right?
As long as you have an imagination and a dream, you can make anything a pickleball court.
Well, that's true. And then there's updates on all these other things.
Parking garage. Where's that at, buddy?
I'll tell you. So if you haven't been downtown lately, you should check out the new, if you drive by the, behind the Roxy and you will be in for a surprise. There is an 8-story, parking garage that is almost done completion, over there behind the Roxy. There's photos of it on ClarksvilleNow.com, but, it's a 587 space parking garage. It's going to have a pedestrian bridge connecting to Franklin Street right next to the new Performing Arts Center when that's...
How cool is that? A pedestrian bridge?
They put this thing up fast.
Really fast.
Because really, a lot of it was precast pieces, and they were able to just assemble it and put it all in place.
Well, it seems like the city got theirs in super fast. I know the county is still kind of behind on their parking garage because there was dueling parking garages for a while. It was like, you know... Mayor Golden and Mayor Pitts were like, I'll do a parking garage. And it was kind of a parking garage throwdown.
Yeah, yeah. So this one came first, and it's going to open in the summer of 2024. So
fantastic.
This summer.
So now your excuse to, where are we going to park, is completely null and void now.
That's right.
Parking that parking structure.
Now, once this opens, they're going to shut down the one next to it, the Cumberland Garage.
The old one that I park at every time I go to the F&M Bank Arena?
So you don't drive an EV, right?
No.
Okay. So the one of the reasons they're going to close it is because it's had some structural issues. It is not in danger of collapsing. You can keep going there.
Yeah.
But the thing's getting kind of old. Concrete over time starts to deteriorate. Yeah. But they're also concerned about whether it's going to be able to withstand electric vehicles.
Oh, because they're so darn heavy.
Yeah. How much heavier is an EV than a regular car? Do you know?
Well, you think about the batteries so darn expensive, are so heavy. Yeah, I mean, they're heavier than regular cars just because of the battery.
A third heavier, double? Do you have any idea?
Just because I sleep with a math teacher on a regular basis does not mean I know math.
I need to sleep with a math teacher.
You really need to.
I know yours is taken. So.
You can't sleep with my math teacher.
I don't think my wife would like that either.
No, she wouldn't.
You know? Well, no, I could probably just ask her to research it because she knows how to research these things.
Yeah, they're heavier.
I guess I could Google it.
I don't know how much heavier.
Let's leave it a mystery.
Yeah.
Let's put the pressure on people to Google weight of an EV vehicle.
If we can't put locks with, you know, our initials on it on the bridge at the Greenway, the Charles Hand Bridge, because they're afraid a couple of master locks are going to break that thing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure electric vehicles aren't going to do well in a parking garage made in the 1950s.
Yeah. Hey, is that a thing?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard
You didn't know that?
I mean, I know that the people putting locks on bridges is like a incredibly dumb idea because, you know, you do that once, sure, no big deal. You do it 2,000 times and you've got, you know, incredible weight on the bridge.
But. Yeah. People used to put love locks up on the hand bridge there at the Greenway. And then what they probably do is the city looks for the person who is like the crabbiest person who hates love. Like maybe the person who just got divorced.
Yeah.
And go like, hey, here's some bolt cutters. Go cut down those love locks. And they're just like, yes, love stinks. They do that every once in a while.
So they do go in and cut them all down?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's a stupid thing to do. You shouldn't do that.
Chris is not a romantic.
I mean.
At all.
This is why you're not sleeping with
a math teacher, because you're not a romantic.
There's a lot of ways to be romantic that don't involve destruction of personal property.
Yeah. Chris does not like love locks.
Nope. Don't like them.
Not having it.
Gosh, what else? There's a ton of other improvements. Mm-hmm. The bridge over the Red River, they're talking about that. That's going to help on grant money. There's apparently TDOT money that's going to be coming our way to do that, but it's kind of being held up.
You mean for the Greenway?
Yeah, to build a bridge over the Red River.
To connect
the
Greenway.
So that the bottom of the, or the southern end of the Greenway can keep going over to Craft Street.
So this has been a project that's been in place for years. And I remember years ago, I was on jury duty, and one of the women that I was on the jury with, mm-hmm. her husband was a part of the engineers designing that bridge. And they've been designing that. That design's been done for a long time. They're just waiting for the money.
It's going to be outdated by the time.
Right, exactly. We don't build bridges like that anymore. Yeah. But yeah, go check that out on ClarksvilleNow.com.
Yeah. All right. Another set of updates here. Mm-hmm. So the county has received some money to do a bunch of traffic improvements.
Okay.
Much needed around the area outside the city limits. There's several roads that are kind of getting dangerous. River Road, as they're getting more and more traffic. International Boulevard. So there's a lot of things like that that need to be improved.
Yeah.
Have you ever run on or ridden a bike on International Boulevard?
I've run on International Boulevard. Yeah. I did once. I ran from my house to Burger King, got breakfast, and then ran back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not safe. If there's cars.
The sidewalk. You can do the sidewalk.
Is there a sidewalk?
There's a sidewalk on International Boulevard. Okay. Well, there's this big wide shoulder too, but yeah, it is a little crazy.
Yeah. There's a lot of areas up there in that Rossview and industrial park mm-hmm. area. My wife used to ride her bike up there a lot.
Yeah.
And she had a wreck up there one time. She didn't get hit by a car or anything, but she went off the pavement. And,
messed her bike up.
Yeah, messed her bike up, hit her head. But it really scares me because those roads are so narrow and we do all this biking up there. And it's
you don't want to bike. You don't want to bike from Rossview mm-hmm. or Life Point. The best place is to bike. There's a wonderful, wonderful church. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the name of it right now. Oh boy, it's going to come to me. Is it Kirkwood Baptist Church? Might be Kirkwood Baptist. Right there. And they have signs out in the church saying bikers and runners welcome. That's the best place to bike and run from because it's safe out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Gets you off the main roads.
Yeah, yeah. But they, one of the things they're going to do is start adding some bike lanes. Mm-hmm. A bike lane on International Boulevard. Now I say they're going to. Let me reword that. There's a proposal out there to do these safety improvements.
Yeah.
With some grant money that the highway department is looking to secure. And if they get this grant, they can add a bunch of things like some flashing lights, some intersection improvements, some guardrails.
Be nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. Kirkwood Baptist is where you want to do your running and biking from, though. Wonderful mm-hmm. church, wonderful people. Great place to start.
You're sure
in the county.
Kirkwood Baptist.
I think it's funny. Just keep talking.
So they're talking about improvements to Dunlop Lane. Mm-hmm. And there's even a little proposal in there. I know people probably are not liking this very much sometimes, but for a traffic circle on one of these roads.
Oh yeah. It's Kirkwood Church.
Yeah.
Yep.
So some of these things will really help, you know.
Oh, the roundabout.
Yeah. There is a proposal for a roundabout out there, but, you know, people tend not to like roundabouts because they're afraid of them. But really, I mean, if my hometown of Athens, Alabama can have a roundabout and not have people have wrecks and learn how to navigate it safely, anybody can have a roundabout.
Well, I think the problem we have with roundabouts in Clarksville is that we've been talking about roundabouts for 10 years because they were going to build a roundabout just off of Needmore Road, and it's taken 10 years for them to complete the roundabout. Mm-hmm. So all we can think of is, my God, these things take decades to build. How complex are these roundabouts?
And, you know, some roundabouts are a little scarier than others. There's mm-hmm. like Korean veterans in Nashville. There's, I think, a three-lane or is that a two-lane roundabout?
I don't know. I hate roundabouts, but
you do.
They are more. You know, they're better for keeping traffic flowing.
Did they make your little fingers nervous? Green?
Yeah, a little bit.
You're just too much of an old woman.
Yeah,
to handle
too
it?
Much, too much. But yeah, but no, I understand. I'm not going to oppose them because they do help with the flow of traffic.
Yeah, especially single lane. A single lane roundabout is nothing.
Yeah, that's the way to
do
it.
I mean, if it's a two lane roundabout, that starts to get a little bit complicated. Mm-hmm. But you know, you get used to it.
Exactly.
It's like a, you know,
you figure it out over time.
Nobody's afraid of stop signs, four-way stops. There's four-way stops everywhere.
At one point they were. When the first four-way stop was put up, they're like, what is this? What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
They figured it out.
My office used to overlook a four-way stop.
Yeah.
So I go fix some coffee, be taking a little break, and I just stand there and I would judge. I just look down and just judge and laugh. Nope. It was it. You're in the wrong, buddy. Nope. Judge them all. All right. Final story. So it is Women's History Month.
Yes, it is. And let me tell you, there's a fantastic story on ClarksvilleNow.com about 10 historical women. Mm-hmm. There's way more than that. It was hard for Chris to pick 10, mm-hmm. but he had to pick 10 because if you know, it's just a good round number. you learn some really fantastic things. I did not know this, and I knew enough about Pat Head Summit, who's, I mean, legend. Pat Head Summit was the first person to win an Olympic medal as an athlete and a coach.
Yeah.
She won silver as a player, gold as a coach.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can do one or the other, but yeah. And actually, my initial report had something wrong. This is what I love about Clarksville,
yeah,
is that everybody knows each other and they know the history. Mm-hmm. So a friend of mine called me after this article post, and he said, hey, Trish, she wasn't born in Henrietta. And turns out Trish, Pat Summit,
yeah,
who everybody she grew up with knows as Trish.
Yeah.
And there's people who, you know, grew up with her who,
yeah,
are still wandering around Clarksville to this day. He told me she moved out to Henrietta when she was 14.
Okay.
Which I got it in my head that she was born in Henrietta.
Okay.
I'd forgotten this legend,
yeah,
about her, that she was a really strong basketball player, was really, you know, really good at it, and wanted to be on a women's basketball team. Well, Clarksville High School didn't have a women's basketball program. However, Cheatham County High School did.
Mm-hmm.
So the family moved to Henrietta so she could enroll in Cheatham County schools.
So she was born and raised in Clarksville,
yeah,
and had to move to Henrietta to play basketball.
Yeah, Henrietta's like right on the county line, but it's inside Cheatham County.
Right now, there's someone who's very old that was on the Clarksville High School board or something that was saying, we don't need no women's basketball. That's for the devil.
Yeah.
That is really regretting that choice, because then we could have had Pat Head Summit could have been a Wildcat, and boy, he could have got a lot of mileage out of that.
Yeah.
Who was that one old man that was like, we are not having women's basketball at Clarksville High School?
I mean, he's got to be dead.
I would think so. If not, he's in a nursing home going, I told him not to have no women's basketball at Clarksville High.
That Pat Head Summit, UT football, that's just a fad.
Basketball is not going to take off. Right? Somebody took a stand on that.
Yeah.
That's interesting to know. And there's a lot of other interesting women in there. One of them was, I didn't know this either. After the Second World War ended, colleges were like, yeah, maybe it's time to start doing sports again. Because, you know, it was during the Second World War, a lot of college sports kind of paused, because all the eligible athletes were fighting overseas in the Second World War.
Yeah, they weren't playing basketball. They were out there with a freaking rifle trying to kill people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the Second World War ends, and Austin Peay goes, you know what? Maybe it's time to start bringing back basketball. Well, the problem was there was a drastic shortage of basketball coaches with experience. Mm-hmm. And so there's this woman, her name is Bea Lowe. She was a gym teacher, taught physical education, and they're like, hey, I know you've never coached basketball before, but we need a basketball coach for our college basketball team. And so B took over and was one of the first women coaches for a men's basketball program in the history of the United States.
Yeah. I tried to find some stats on that. Like, was she actually the first female coach of a men's basketball program? And I found an article like saying how rare it is.
Yeah.
And all the women coaches that they named were like coaches from the 1980s.
Right.
This was 1945.
Yeah. 1945 is when she took over.
I'm wondering, was
she maybe the first? Now here's why you haven't seen a movie on the Disney Channel about Bea Lowe. They stunk. So if they were really good, then you would have seen it.
We didn't say she was successful.
No, right, but she was the first. So the team was not very good. And so that's why you haven't seen a Disney Channel movie about it yet.
Yeah.
And they did not have a golden retriever playing on their team. But if they had, then, I mean, we would have had a movie already. But that's just amazing. And that's just a little part.
And there's this photo from the 1945, probably a yearbook of the men's basketball team at APSU. You see all these players all about the same height. You see this tiny little woman up on the side.
Yeah.
A good head shorter than most of the players.
And the great thing about basketball shorts in 1945 is they are short.
Yeah.
1 inch inseam on those shorts. No, it's great. And it's really fantastic. Story and article about you just learned something about 10 incredible women.
This was the new thing that that I found, because I actually swapped out two people.
Who did you leave out?
Oh gosh, I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
Well, you should have wrote it down.
I think it was Dorothy Jordan I took out.
Okay.
Dorothy
Michael's
Jordan,
mom.
She was an actress that she was popular at the time, but nobody really remembers. Right. And gosh, there was somebody else I took out. I don't remember. But the one I put in, this was cool. So it's 1941, mm-hmm. The Great Depression had just happened. There was a rich old family, the Mabry family, mm-hmm. which is still around today. They had a tobacco farm up on what is now Fort Campbell. Mm-hmm. This woman and her husband, her name is Anna Mabry Barr. They had moved away, but then came back during the Depression because they lost everything in New Orleans. So she's living on this farm on Fort Campbell. Well, government comes in, says, hey, get off the land. We need to build a military installation.
Yeah.
She says, heck no, and chases off the surveyors with a shotgun. So she chases off these surveyors. So finally, she relents. She says, okay, you know, she gives up. You know, the entirety of the federal government is forcing her off. So she gives up, but she moves to a little farm on Trenton Road with a log cabin and kind of lives the sort of eccentric life. She's kind of a bit of an oddball.
Yeah.
She's a widow. So then once Fort Campbell is built, she decides, well, they're on my land. They're my boys. And she starts going on to post to take care of the sick and imprisoned. So she's going to the hospital and she's going to the stockade and giving people Bibles and praying with them and counseling them, and is basically a missionary and is helping to take care of the spiritual needs of these soldiers in the on post.
I love that the woman that ran off the surveyors with a shotgun and eventually was convinced to get off her property is given a new set of property with a log cabin. She lives, strange mm-hmm. life. And then one day just decides they're on my land. They're my boys.
Yeah. And so she's going to take care of
them. And adopts every soldier on Fort Campbell as her own because they're on her land.
Yeah. So she does
this. That's great.
She does this for several years. And then there's a new, commanding generals rotate in and out.
Yeah.
So this new commanding general comes in and he's like, say what? There is a civilian woman coming on post
whenever she wants
with full access to the stockade and the hospital. He's like, heck no. So he revokes her pass.
Yeah.
She gets wind of this.
Did she grab her shotgun?
She didn't need a shotgun, Ryan. She stormed into his office and wore his hide out, tore him a new one up one side and down the other. He finally, I can just picture this general coming out of his office.
He looks like Tommy Lee Jones, by the way.
Blood red, hands shaking, and tells his secretary to reinstate her pass immediately.
Reinstate her pass immediately.
Yeah. So they reinstate her pass, mm-hmm. and she then gets her pass reinstated by every consecutive commanding general.
Well, because that CG had a meeting with the guy who's taking over from going like, listen, there's a woman here. Yeah. Just go with it. Yeah. Just go with Stockade Annie. Uh-huh. She is the sweet as can be, but she is determined. And if you revoke her pass, she will ruin your life.
Yeah. Yeah. So she got a lifetime pass to Fort Campbell. And for the next several decades until 1969, she continued doing this. When she got too frail to continue going on to post, they sent MPs out from Fort Campbell to go pick her up at her house and drive her onto post.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. She died in 1969 at age 93.
Wow.
And she died at Blanchfield Army Community Hospital, even though she was a civilian. They took care of her at Bach. And then when she was buried at Greenwood Cemetery, she was buried with full military honors.
That is a beautiful story.
Wonderful story.
Where'd you find that?
There was a reporter from the Leaf Chronicle named Phil Gray.
Okay.
And he used some archival information and he interviewed Bill Mabry, who was her nephew.
Yeah.
Bill Mabry's passed a few years ago. Yeah. But before he died, he told Phil this story about Stockade Annie, which has been known about him around the community for a long time. But it's fascinating.
That's an incredible story. Yeah. ClarksvilleNow.com. You can read more about Stockade Annie and nine other incredible women for Women's History Month. But I love that. I love that story.
Great? I love it, yeah.
Turn that into a movie, please.
That would make a funny movie.
Why did you make Madam Web when you could have made that?
MCU.
Exactly.
Kevin Feige.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's Feige.
Feige.
It's
not Feige. Kevin Feige, whatever.
Yeah.
I've only read it. I've never heard
it. You know what he has? Maralia is what he has.
Malaria.
Malaria. Yeah.
Now I can do Staccati and E. Need to make a Staccati and E movie.
Fantastic. Read all about those stories and more on ClarksvilleNow.com. This is the Clarksville Rundown, a Clarksville Now original podcast.